Welcome to listen to Kyö Dental original podcast series Karonka. I'm dentist Mikko Nyman. Today our guest is Dr. Christoph Thalacker. Christoph is the head of adhesives research and development at 3M Oral Care. Christoph has published 19 publications in peer-reviewed journals, 26 patent families, and over 30 presentations at international conferences. Welcome, Christoph, and thank you for accepting our interview invitation.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mikko, for hosting me. It's an exciting opportunity for me. It's actually the first time for me to have a podcast recorded, and so I'm excited about talking a little bit about myself and what I'm doing at 3M about dental adhesives and restorative dentistry in general.
Great, great. Since we are doing a podcast series on doctoral dissertations, I must ask, what was the topic of your doctoral thesis?
That was a self-assembly of functional perylene dyes into supramolecular structures based on hydrogen bonding and pi-pi interactions. So a topic that has nothing to do with dentistry at all, but it was fun and interesting chemistry.
Okay. And you are a chemist by profession?
Right.
Okay, great.
Maybe I can add, when I joined 3M Oral Care or 3MSP at that time in 2001, I had barely no touch points with dentistry, except for the usual visit to the dentist every 6 months. But I think in the meantime, I learned a lot about dentistry. It's also an exciting topic, and I like to be there at the crossroads between chemistry, material science, and dentistry.
Yeah, so let's go to your work at 3M Oral Care. First, could you describe your work and responsibilities at 3M Oral Care?
Well, as you said, I'm responsible for the development of our dental adhesives. So I coordinate the lab work with the development team. We typically work in project teams with defined work packages for the development of a new product. So I collaborate with the other work packages. I also was a project leader before. Where I had to make sure that the work packages deliver their results on time. So in general, my duty is also to ensure that the development work stays on track, that if there is an issue, it gets resolved and we inform the rest of the team and the organization. Another important aspect of my work is IP, intellectual property. So I need to make sure that our development work is protected by filing own patents together with the attorneys we have at 3M. I'm also tracking competitive activities. I look into patent databases to see what our competitors are doing and find out about their strategies they are filing patents which might interfere with our activities. Another important aspect again is to collaborate with external partners. We have good relations with many universities and dental schools and also material science researchers worldwide. So we set up in vitro studies and later in the project also in vivo studies. I have colleagues who are dedicated to these university contacts, but very often I'm also involved in discussing study protocols or discussing the results and looking into the progress of the study. And in the almost 20 years I've spent with 3M Oral Care, I was fortunate to set up good personal relations with many researchers in the dental field as well. Then, again, another important part of my work is to train my colleagues at 3M on our new products, and also to provide lectures, webinars, and the like to doctors and universities. and to spread the word about our products and to show that there is a solid scientific background, how we develop them, how they work, and to summarize the evidence that is published.
Mm. So you started your work in year 2000 or around that time at 3M.
Yeah, in 2001. Yeah, right after my PhD. So yeah, it was my first job, and I still like it a lot because it's very interesting. No days like the other. And of course, over the years, I was involved in many different projects or development of different products, which gave me a lot of variety while staying in the same job.
Mm. Have you counted how many research and development projects have you been taking part since 2000?
Oh, I could count them. Do you want me to name the products where I was involved?
When I started
at 3M, I was involved in the, or I got on the project of developing Filtek Silorane and the adhesive to go with that composite. That was a low shrinkage, low stress composite based not on methacrylate chemistry, which is the basis of all dental composites and adhesives, but on ring opening cationic polymerization with the benefit of low shrinkage and stress. It was a very challenging thing because we had to develop everything from scratch. We couldn't use the usual fillers used until then for methacrylate based composites. We had to develop a new resin, a new adhesive to go with it. And yeah, clinically it worked, but unfortunately the tangible benefits for the doctors were not there. So the research, the success in the market, which is also important for a company, because at the end you need to earn money to pay your employees and your shareholders. Yeah, the financial success wasn't there as we hoped. So it got replaced by Filtek bulk fill posterior, where I was also involved, which was then a low shrinkage, low stress methacrylate based composite, which was then replaced by Filtek One as a more aesthetic version of that bulk fill composite. And on the adhesive side, I was involved, of course, my group developed the system adhesive for the Filtek Silorane. From that chemistry, we developed Adper EasyBond, one bottle self-etch adhesive, which again was the chemical basis for Scotchbond Universal. Which was a very successful product because it was the first truly universal adhesive, and I'm quite proud to say that we created a new category in the adhesives arena with this product.
Okay, so then next, let's discuss about the teamwork and also the 3M culture. I have read a few business books and quite many of them have mentioned the 3M's unique culture. It's called 15% culture. Could you tell us about this culture, and does it apply to 3M oral care also?
Yes, of course. The 15% culture means that 3M allows every employee to devote 15% of his or her paid time to pursue own ideas, which will hopefully result in new products, new ways to the market, new customer services, and so on, without being bound to goals set up by the manager or
It applies to oral care also then?
Absolutely, yeah. Oral care is part of 3M. And also another aspect that fits nicely there is that at 3M, we have access to all the technologies which are also used in other parts of the company. And of course, it's great to have that 15% approach to develop contacts with other researchers, let's say in the corporate research lab or working on our industrial adhesives, for instance, because many of these technologies have common elements like resin chemistries or fillers, which can then be used also for dental applications, like for instance the zirconia nanofillers, which we have in our filling composites, have originally been developed for optical films like you would find on the displays of cell phones or computers.
That's a great benefit that you have a big company that's doing many different projects.
Right. Another aspect about the 3M culture is that we have what's called the dual ladder model, which means that when you advance in your career, you can also get higher, what we call job grades or higher reputation, which is also linked then, of course, to your income, not only by having more and more people reporting to you, which would be a career as a manager, but you can also advance in your career as an expert, which then allows people like myself, I'm on the expert side of the dual ladder, which allows me to focus on my scientific work and not having to do all the management duties, budget planning, discussions about who should be on which project and so on. And that's not common because in many other companies, in order to advance in your career, you would have to oversee more and more people. So they only have the management side as a career option.
Okay. When you build up this research and development team for some product or project, what professionals are usually in the team when we discuss about, for example, adhesives or composite research and development?
Of course, first you need a team in the lab to make prototypes to develop the formulation. And at the same time, you need experts on packaging materials because new materials also need to be stored safely. So they can be stored on the shelf at the dentist or at the dealer and are still good to use until the expiry date. And for instance, for Scotch Bond Universal, we developed a new vial with that flip-top cap so it can be opened with one hand. And that's also an internal development at 3M. Then we have a patent attorney on the team who will help us filing intellectual property on our developments. We have colleagues who get customer input for us, which means they have contact to a group of dentists from different countries who have a confidentiality agreement. So we can show them early on prototypes and get their opinion. Is this the right thing or should we modify something or is this a stupid idea which we should scrap at all? Then we need colleagues who arrange university contacts so we can have independent opinions on our prototypes. We need colleagues in the process development who make sure that we can transfer a product from a small scale at the lab bench to the factory where it can then be manufactured at the scale of several hundred kilograms. And it's still the same properties and qualities as when you do it on a small beaker in the lab. We need colleagues in the regulatory group who will do the registration of our medical devices in the different countries. We need product safety experts who will arrange for the biocompatibility evaluation of the material. And so you can see there is many different functions involved in such a project team to make sure that every step is done well, also in accordance with the applicable ISO standards for medical devices to make sure that the product is safe to use at the end and has a good quality and meets the expectations of the customer.
Okay. Before we go to the one example research and development project, I'm really interested to know in where do you get the new ideas and new innovations? Because I'm wondering that are there dentists who bring you these ideas that some new product could be needed? Or because now we have composite, we have every year new composites, new adhesives, better and better, but totally new products. How do you get the ideas for those?
Yeah, of course, that's an important part of my job to come up with new ideas. But of course, there is many different ways how we can get ideas. In fact, there is dentists who approach us, maybe not so much with technical solutions, but of course, they tell us about their pain points and say, let's say, it would be great to have an adhesive that's totally insensitive to moisture or would even maybe cure in the presence of moisture. And when you think back about Scotch Bond Universal, which we launched in 2011, at that time there were self etch and etch and rinse adhesives in the market that worked well. So, and the industry had been focusing on developing self etch adhesives for many years, while university researchers still kept telling, total etch or etch and rinse adhesives are still better. And because of that dilemma, most doctors had their had different adhesives in their operatory, which they would use for different indications. Also, at that time, you needed a separate primer for every restoration material. You needed a primer for metal. You needed a primer for zirconia, for glass ceramic, and so on. And our market research showed us, this is how the adhesive market is split. This is the preferred materials, let's say, in North America, for Europe, and so on. And so I came up with the idea, well, let's try not to focus on the next self-etch adhesive, which would just be another Me Too product, but let's accept the fact that doctors are not using only self-etch adhesive, but they still have total etch. So let's make one adhesive that serves both categories. And in addition, let's see if we can add all those primer functions into the same chemistry. And so we went to the lab and we made several hundred formulations until we came up with what is now Scotch Bond Universal. And so we are often inspired by doctors or contacts with university researchers. And then we have our own sources of information, like the market research I mentioned. And that leads to the ideas of new products.
So then let's delve into the research and development process, and let's take one example, and maybe the Scotch Bond Universal Plus could be the newest product. And could you tell us about the process, how it started, how long the process was, and how it will end up in the market in the end?
It's a quite long story, because we were already quite successful with the Scotch Bond Universal, so we had to think about how can we further improve this material and add new useful features while not taking away what our customers like about it. And so, of course, we made a list of properties we may still add to the material. And formulation development took about 5 to 6 years, if you want, because the new features also required some different inventions in terms of chemistry. For instance, the Scotch Bond Universal Plus is radiopaque in contrast to the original Scotchbond Universal. And we are not achieving the radiopacity through adding a radiopaque filler, which is the traditional way of making radiopaque dental materials. But our synthetic chemists developed a radiopaque resin, which gives the Scotchbond Universal Plus a radiopacity at the level of the dentin, which will have the benefit that in the case of pooling of the adhesive, the thick adhesive layer under a restoration won't look like a dark shadow anymore, which could be interpreted also as caries, as a void or a gap. But it has the same radiopacity as the surrounding dentin, so this potential misdiagnosis can be avoided. And this radiopaque resin also doesn't use bisphenol A anymore as a backbone, in contrast to the widely used bis-GMA resin, which is the cross-linking part of the original Scotchbond Universal. And although I think dental materials using bis-GMA are perfectly safe to use, as has been proven for many, many years, and also Scotchbond Universal has gone through all the biocompatibility evaluations very successfully, there is a growing demand for materials which do not contain bis-GMA or other resins which are derived from BPA chemistry anymore. And so we are also addressing this need in the market with the new Scotchbond Universal Plus. Another important trend which we saw is the minimally invasive dentistry, which I think is a great topic, because I think everyone wants to be more healing than just replacing or repairing teeth. And it's a topic that has been very active in academia for many years, but now it's also reaching general practitioners more and more. So they hear about minimally invasive preparation techniques, about removing less and less healthy tooth substance to extend the longevity of the tooth. And for instance, they hear you don't need to excavate until you reach the sound dentin. It's more important not to open the pulp. So on the pulpal aspect of the cavity, it's safe to leave behind caries-affected dentin and not risking to open the pulp. But they don't know, how does my adhesive stick to the caries-affected dentin? Will I get a good bond? Will it be sealed? And so we developed and tested Scotchbond Universal Plus to give good bond strength to the caries-affected dentin and also to form a well-defined hybrid layer on that substrate and seal it, so it can be used with confidence for minimally invasive preparation techniques as well.
That's interesting, because that's a new topic we've been discussing in Finland, the leaving caries in the cavity. So it's always important to clean all the margins really well. But
yeah, of course, the margins still need to be in enamel or in sound dentin. But I think in order to keep a tooth vital, that's been shown in so many studies, and there is lots of publications and consensus conferences, etc. It's more important not to open the pulp than trying to remove the last portion of stained or affected dentin.
So in what part of the process do dentists start testing the product?
As I said, we have groups of dentists from different countries under confidentiality agreement, which means they can be shown prototypes very early on, of course, in vitro only. For instance, they will then come to our lab and they will get the prototype and, let's say, apply an adhesive prototype to the teeth, to extracted teeth. And then they give us their feedback. I like the handling, or maybe it's too thick, it's too runny, things like that. And so we can then modify the formulation and adjust it to their preferences.
I have never tested any products in the lab, but I have tested them with patients when you have enough information that we can test it. Yeah. I always wonder the questionnaires after testing, because when you are testing an adhesive, usually the handling, it's not a problem with today's products. And I think what matters more is that how good the product is. So more, I would be like interested more in the research data that you have about the product, how well it holds the composite in it.
Yeah, of course, that data is available, but I think you will understand that we cannot disclose this data a long time before we actually launch a new material into the market.
Yes, so, of course.
With the market launch of ScotchBond Universal Plus, the full package will be available, brochures, case studies, technical product profile, study booklet, and many other documents, or webinars, or lots of other information.
Yes. So let's summarize the R&D process. So for example, for ScotchBond Universal Plus, how long was this whole process? You said 7 years, or did I remember correct?
I think no, it was not 7 okay. years in total. So maybe the formulation development was 5 years maybe. And of course, after you have finalized your formulation, the work continues, because you need to make sure that you can not only produce it in a small amount in the lab, but you need to be able to produce it in the factory in a much larger scale, which can have problems of its own, because it's a big difference whether you just have to stir maybe 10 milliliters in a small beaker on the lab bench, or if you have to stir 200 kilograms in a big barrel. And so you need to make sure that process works. You need to make sure that your formulation is biocompatible. So you need to meet all the criteria on biocompatibility as demanded by the ISO standards, which apply for that. And then you need to set up studies demonstrate the in vitro performance. Of course, we have our own in-house data, but we also want to get third-party results. And then these data need to be compiled into booklets, brochures, and so on, so that they are available as an information for our customers when we launch a product. And so this whole process takes several years.
So. Long project.
Absolutely.
Next topic, let's just talk briefly about adhesives and filling composites. Do this development process go hand in hand with adhesives and filling composites, or are they usually separate project and separate teams?
Well, they are separate projects and separate teams. Because you need different experts when it comes to, because both have many chemical components in common, but they need to be optimized for different purposes, obviously. And also they are made using different equipment in our factories, so different processes are involved. But when we develop a new adhesive, we also always make sure that we test the bond strength not only with our own composites, but also with the market leading competitive composites to make sure that there is a good performance. And in part, we have the same colleagues on an adhesive or on a composite project team.
Okay, let's then jump to the next team, and it's the other brands and cheap products that we have in the market. So is there a vast difference between premium adhesives or composites and cheap products in your opinion, or based on research data?
Well, of course, if you look at the brochures of the manufacturers, everyone is very positive about their products. Ultimately, I think what's important is not only the data generated by the manufacturers, but also what other researchers say. For instance, with the Scotchbond Universal, in the meantime, there is more than 400 independent studies published in peer-reviewed journals, and that alone is more than for all of the competitive universal adhesives taken together. And I think also our competitor or brand competitors in the market, they want to have their products tested by independent resources. But if you look at the cheap products or dealer brands, this kind of evidence is missing. I only see very few studies being published on these materials. Also, we and our larger competitors, of course, have large research labs. We obtain a patent protection for our materials. So if you want to have the leading technology, I think you need to get materials from the larger manufacturers, whereas the cheap products typically are based on older technology where patent protection has expired.
Yeah, you mentioned you test the compatibility with different, these bigger brands also. So dentists can safely use, for example, 3M's adhesives or some other major brands' composites.
Right. Yeah. So we purchase competitive materials and test them in our lab, and also make sure that compatibility is there, because when you develop a universal adhesive, for instance, you need to make sure that it's compatible with the market-leading products also from our competitors.
That's good to know, because at least in Finland, not so many dentists can decide on all materials which they use. They might have a different flowable composite and then other brands' composite. So it's good to know that these can be used safely together.
Yeah. Of course, I think there are definite benefits to using materials out of one company, because, for instance, when we develop our composites or our adhesives and do the bond strength testing, we routinely use our own composites. And so by that way, naturally, our adhesives are optimized for use with our composite, and later on we do the compatibility testing and see, well, there is also a great bond strength with competitive composites, but still the optimization has been done using 3M materials. And when it comes to the indirect use, together with the resin cement, for instance, Scotchbond Universal Plus has been optimized for use with the new RelayX Universal, which will be launched at the same time. And then you get the full benefit of the package, like the highest bond strength, which can be achieved by the use staying within the system, and also other benefits like not having to light cure the adhesive on the tooth side, for instance, which is features which you can realize by co-developing the adhesive and the cement, but not necessarily when you develop your formulation and then test for compatibility with another material.
So next, let's discuss about how 3M oral care products end up in the market. So how big proportion of the products never end up in the market?
Well, to be honest, I don't have that information. Because, of course, there are many projects who don't make it to the market. But at 3M, we have that so-called stage gate process for our projects. And at every gate in the project timeline, different properties are assessed and reviewed with the management. So where are we technically? What's the chance to have a good success in the market, and so on? And a lot of projects are killed early on because either we are not capable to get a viable prototype, we still need to work more on the technology, or the market research shows that it's not attractive to our customers, or maybe we get that kind of feedback from the dentists we consult looking at our prototypes. Of course, it's better to kill the bad projects early on instead of having project teams working for many years and then stop the program immediately before it should go to market.
Yes, the fail fast principle.
Right.
Yes. So the products that end up in the market, what do you think? How many percent of the products then somehow fail in the market? The clients don't buy them for some reason.
Well, that's another good question. It depends on what you call failing. I think technically, most of them work well. Because we put a lot of effort into making sure that the products are safe to use and that the performance is there. But sometimes maybe other factors come into play. Like when I think back of the first project I was involved with, the Filtek Silorane, at that time we really had very, very low shrinkage and shrinkage stress, much less than methacrylate composites had when the project was started. But while we were working on it, also the methacrylate-based composites advanced. And finally, they had better properties because, for instance, when you think of low shrinkage and stress, you say, well, that's great because if shrinkage and stress is low, then I can do a bulk filling. But that's something we were not able to do with the Silorane because of the fillers and resins we had to use. It was so opaque. The light couldn't get deeply into it to make it bulk fill capable. And this wasn't the problem with the methacrylates. And so we went back to the lab and looked at low-stress methacrylate, where we developed a new resin system. And that was the basis for our new composites, like the Filtek 1, which I think you're using as well, and the new Filtek Universal. And by the way, that resin is also free of bisphenol A derivatives. So together with the Scotchmont Universal Plus, this gives doctors a treatment option which is free from bis-GMA and other BPA-derived resins for the whole procedure, for the adhesive and for the filling composite.
Yeah, let's discuss more about bulk fill materials and normal sure. composites. I myself have just started using bulk fills just lately, like for 1 year. And this was because I attended one lecture where this professor said that the quality is the and the end result is the same whichever you use. So I trust that this is true. But what is your view on bulk fills and normal? Are the do they last as long in patient's mouth? In both ways, if you used study the instructions and do everything right.
Yeah, of course, you need to do everything right. And I think that from a material point of view, the bulk fill composites which are available now are as good as composites that need to be layered in terms of strength and wear resistance and other properties. The bulk fill composites typically need to be more translucent than composites that are layered because the light needs to be able to travel safely into the material for 4 or 5 millimeters. And maybe that's not enough for highly aesthetic restorations. That's why with the Filtek 1, we've developed what we call a smart contrast ratio management, which allows the light to travel more deeply into the material, but after the curing, the opacity of the material is in the range of universal composites, which of course gives then the doctors both the benefits of the bulk fill capability and a nice aesthetic appearance. for bulk fill, I think it's even more important than for conventional layered composites to have well-maintained curing light and use the proper curing techniques, which means that you should check the intensity of the curing light on a regular basis. You should make sure that the light guide is clean, so it's not contaminated or scratched. You should place it right on the restoration, and also with the aid of orange goggles or filters, for instance, you could watch what you're doing while doing the light curing step. Quite oftentimes you see dentists or assistants doing the light curing step by aiming the light at the restoration and then look away in order to protect the eyes from the blue light. Please don't do that, because it's important to watch what you do.
Yes.
Also, you should watch the curing times recommended by the manufacturer and not fall for promises of very short curing times of a few seconds only, because the curing chemistry needs some time. And when you switch off the light, when the reaction hasn't progressed to its maximum, then the cure may be insufficient.
Mm. Yeah, there have been many lectures about the light curing, how important it is. And it was one of the main reasons why composite fillings fail.
Absolutely. I mean, at the lab, we put such a lot of effort into developing material properties, but ultimately, strength and wear resistance that we measure are due to curing under, let's say, optimized conditions, where the full intensity of a light, which is calibrated on a regular basis, and out in a real life, of course, these properties are substantially influenced by the doctor who is placing the restoration. So if it's not cured well, and that's true not only for 3M materials, but for all the materials in the market, then you won't get the full performance.
Mm. Yeah, it's all about the operator who is doing the thing. Usually.
Well, of course, we are doing our best to reduce the operator-to-operator variability for our materials, so any dentist can get good results with our composites and adhesives, and I believe our competitors are on the same page there. But still, if the curing light, for instance, has a low intensity, or the focus of the light beam is where it shouldn't be, let's say, as can also be the case with the very cheap lights, then all those efforts in our lab are somehow contradicted.
Mm. Based on your data, do you end up with less voids when you use bulk fill materials compared to layered composites? Or do you have this kind of data? Because my own experience that you use it there are sometimes more voids when you do the layering.
Yes, during the development, for instance, of the Filtek 1, we had doctors come to 3M in what we call a SIMOP, a simulated operatory, and they placed fillings in typodonts, in plastic teeth, with the bulk fill and layering technique, and they also use different materials. And I think it's quite obvious, when you dispense a bulk fill material directly from a capsule in one shot, there is a much less chance for incorporating voids than when you dispense a conventional layered composite on a pad. Then you pick up small portions of the composite with an instrument and add it to restoration you're working on. Then that way you are likely to incorporate much more voids or even gaps between the different layers than when you have a bulk fill composite, which is dispensed and cured in one shot.
Which one is more used these days? Is bulk fill Filtek 1 or Filtek Supreme? Which one do you sell more?
I think Supreme is, of course, still our biggest composite in many markets. but we've also seen nice success with the Filtek one. And of course, with adhesives, doctors are also quite conservative when it comes to using composites. So when they're happy with the material and see good results, it will take some time to convince them that now we have a new material. And also, the beauty of the Supreme is that it's a universal composite. And so there are so many options and possibilities to use it. You can use it for all kinds of restorations, whereas bulk fill materials are still mostly used in the posterior, where you have the biggest cavities and where the bulk fill capability offers most benefits.
Okay. So then let's discuss about the collaboration partners you have with this project. So probably you do some cooperation with universities, correct?
Right. So it's important to get also independent opinions on our prototypes, or sometimes universities have test capabilities, which we do not have at 3M. Although at 3M, I think we have excellent analytical labs, which we have access to at Oral Care as well. So for instance, in order to determine the degree of conversion of our new Scotchbond Universal Plus, we went to the corporate analytical lab in Neuss, Germany, and had them do Raman microscopy on the Scotchbond Universal Plus in the adhesive layer at the tooth to find out, does it cure well, not only in a lab specimen, but also at the interface to the tooth. But other technologies like special setups which have been established by university researchers would be very cumbersome for us to reproduce internally. So we like to go out and work with those universities to see how our material performs in tests which we don't typically do in our lab at Oral Care.
Okay. Have you had any doctoral thesis project involved in your own projects?
We had several theses during my career at 3M, but those are mostly theses for material scientists or chemists, because frankly, in our lab, we have mostly people with a chemical background or material science. Dentists don't usually come to our lab for a thesis, but we are supporting theses at universities, for instance, with new materials to study. And I'm also happy to discuss with the students or their supervisors the outcome, or give them additional ideas what to test, or also proofread manuscripts and things like that.
Mm. Do you ever have common project with other brands?
Well, of course, our materials need to be compatible with other materials. Sometimes there's also common interests in, let's say, new technologies, or standardization is another point when it comes to establishing new ISO or national standards when we collaborate with other brands. So these are examples also from my personal experience. Then, of course, in other fields of 3M Oral Care, we need to make sure that, for instance, our ceramic milling materials are compatible with the systems they go in. So, of course, there is then contact with those manufacturers.
Okay. Then last, let's discuss a little about customer support and support to clinicians. So what is the protocol if some dentist wants to ask some more like clinical question that's about your products? Who is the first one to answer it, and when you must be the person who answers this question?
Okay, so typically I don't get contacted directly by doctors, because that would be more than just filling my day. I mean, in Germany alone, there's about 50,000 dentists. So when they have a question or need an answer, they can either contact their 3M sales representative or call our call center. And if those colleagues cannot answer the question, oftentimes, that it gets transferred to me. So to say, I'm also a back office function for the call center. And then sometimes I get to call back a doctor or even visit the office. For instance, to do some troubleshooting or if there is a more in-depth question which cannot be answered by the call center.
Thanks for the interview, Christoph. It was great to hear how the products we dentists use are developed. Keep up the good work at 3M. Thank you and goodbye.